The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Think about that for a second. If you want to declare the glory of God, you can point people to the heavens. Interesting thought. Amen. Excuse me a moment. I have lost something. I got to catch it. Book of Romans, please, chapter number 3. Book of Romans, chapter number 3. The only great thing about a cold is that I can probably sing bass better. Romans chapter 3, I'm going to read... starting in verse number 1, it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision, much every way? Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto glory. Why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be in this place. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are the strong one. Though I be weak, you can always be strong. You are all strong. And so we ask this morning that you would, through your Spirit, just work in each of our hearts. Bless this morning. I pray that we might be overcome with the Spirit in such a way that we see our sinfulness. We reach out to a Savior. We understand really what is going on in this old world of ours. And then as those who know you might seek others for Christ's sake, for we ask it in his name. Amen. We live in an age that has changed in the last 50 years. I mean dramatically. We can look at all the advancements, I mean from microwaves to cell phones. Cooking on a wood-burning stove, as my mother did, to convectional ovens. I remember the wooden crank phones that hung on the wall. They had no dial thing. They had no buttons to push, just a crank to turn. You weren't connected instantly and automatically as today. We have cars that today can produce well over 500 horsepower and get 20-25 miles per gallon. We have access to news around the world in just seconds, and we can travel to almost any place on this globe in 24 hours or less. It's fantastic, the changes that we have seen. But there's something else that has taken place, and that is this: we have lost the concept of God. And somehow think we have created all of this. Somehow that be in our hearts and our minds, in general practice, really. Our text here today is very simple. As it states the reasons or the reason for the chaos of this world. And it really basically comes down to verse 23 when it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's been a loss of something. And thus we have chaos in our world today. We find that our peoples who protect us oftentimes need protected. Because there are those who are out to slay them, to do them evil, to do them harm. We find that there are nations that would like to see our nation go under. We find that there is just, in the streets of our cities and around the world, general chaos. We find on our streets those who are living in tents and could care less if they lived anywhere else. It's an unusual time in which we live. And I believe it all comes down to this fact that we have lost the fear of God. The mindset, I believe, this last generation that we look at today as a whole is horrifying. Really, seriously. To those of us who know that its course is simply to destruction, we understand that very well. It's amazing to me the idealism that is among young people that somehow believe that everything can be free. That's become the new norm. Why is that? Because everything has been free to them without realization that there was some great prices that were paid. Sin no longer is sin in the life of so many people. The concept of sin has not been taught. Somehow we think that it's just, you know, doing a little mistake here and there, not realizing that we have been going against the holy commands of a righteous God. And He does not tolerate sin. Now we think because we're getting away with it for a while, we'll get away with it for eternity. That simply is not true. The crucial emphasis so often today is saving the planet from all of our waste. It's interesting to me that those who fly around their private jets telling everybody to quit using so much energy are being hypocritical about it. Interesting day in which we live. The fear of God has been negated, I believe, by well-meaning Christians as well. Oftentimes we change that word fear to the word holy reverence or respect. And it does mean a holy reverence. It does mean a respect. But fear means we are afraid of its consequences. And this idea has been changed by parents and educators as judgment is most often very slight or of no real significance. I want you to listen to what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Interesting statement, verse 11 of chapter 8. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Perhaps that's why God said that we ought to train up our children from the time they are very young, and that we need to chasten them in those years as well, because they need to understand that what they have done is wrong, and there needs to be execution of that swiftly, that they might understand that God does not tolerate sin. Do you realize this morning that proper fear is life-changing? Seriously, ask a five-foot man who can't swim that's in 6 foot of water if fear isn't something that will change your life. For it is there that you would holler out for help. It is there that you would reach and grab for whatever you could that you might be able to save your life. I have a fear of walking out in the middle of Avenue M, but I have a greater fear of crossing the fence and walking out in the middle of I-29. Why is that? Because there are 80,000-pound trucks that go down that road, and they can't stop in time to keep from hitting me if I was to walk in front of them. So there's a proper fear. It's life-changing. You know, it's interesting to me that God takes the Old Testament primarily, not completely, but primarily to present to us His laws, to show us the consequences of breaking those laws. And He does that before He introduces us to the concept of grace that is given in the New Testament. The Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, was a covenant of law. The New Testament is a covenant or a testament in the grace of God. We got the one before the other. There's a reason for that. And that is that we might look at the laws and understand we have broken them and that we're not going to get away with it with God. And that we need to have a healthy fear of God. You know, today's generation, they haven't been told no. They get trophies for not participating. They never lose a game. Poor kids. They go into the world as a result with an unrealistic view of life. And they think that they never should lose, that they'd all always be rewarded, no matter what their performance is. And we understand something. That's just not reality. It's very sad that we see that. We go to the book of Proverbs. We find that there are two verses that really demonstrate some things very dramatically for us. If you would turn now, I'd appreciate that. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1, first of all. What I'm about to say is nothing new to anybody in this room, I don't believe, but it's a reminder. I hope that it's a help. I hope that it strikes a chord with us. Let's notice, first of all, chapter number 1 of the book of Proverbs and verse number 7. If you know where Proverbs is, if you haven't been saved very long, shame on you. Secondly, turn to the middle of your Bible, Psalms, and then turn to your right, and you'll find Proverbs. And in verse number 1, chapter number 1, verse number 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what God said is true? Yes. So he said, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. He goes on to say, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do we really understand what this means? Do you understand that real knowledge doesn't start until there's a fear of God? You say, well, I know people who are very, very smart. Okay, there are people who will tell you that they can understand all the things about an atom. They can understand all the particular characteristics of an animal. They can tell you that they've studied the monarch butterfly that flies, by the way, some of them all the way from northeastern Canada down into Mexico, below Mexico City, into just a few square miles to winter every year. 4,000 and 5,000 miles that little butterfly flies. They have learned these tremendous facts. But if they do not know the fear of the Lord, they have not begun to have knowledge. For they know not the one who gave that butterfly that ability. They know not the one who gave, all those things to us that we might behold the glory of God. You know, we can study the stars and we can look at the planets and we can understand their movements and so forth. But if we don't realize that God is the one who placed them there and he placed them there for you and for me to declare his glory, then we do not have real knowledge. It starts with the fear of God. You say, well, I know some smart people. I know some smart people too, and all they have is some facts they put together, but have no idea where they're coming from or where they are going. Matter of fact, they're not even sure where they are at. I remember hearing one guy, he said this. He said he was arguing with another fellow. This guy was a creationist and the other guy was an evolutionist. And the other guy said that he came from a monkey. And finally the creationist looked at him and said, you know what? You've convinced me you have come from a monkey. And really that's somewhat true. True learning comes from God. Do you believe that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts with. In Deuteronomy chapter number 17, verse 19, it says this, and it shall be with him, he shall read therein all the days of his life, speaking of the word of God they had, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Hey, the word of God is to help us to learn the fear of God. It's help us to understand who he is, understand how holy he is, and understand that our sinfulness will bring about the judgment of an almighty God in our lives. Why aren't people flocking to get saved? There's no fear of God before their eyes. Why are people sitting home today and not being in the house of God and hearing the preacher and the word of God being preached? There's no fear of God before their eyes. We have a problem today. Deuteronomy chapter 31, a little farther down in the book, he says, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Do we understand today that our young people are being trained away from the fear of God? Do we understand that? Other than a few homeschoolers, and I would say some, not all, and I also say other than a few or some, I shouldn't say few, but some in both cases, Christian schools. By the way, there's homeschoolers who are not Christian. There's Christian schools that are a name only that have students other than those that have no knowledge of God. They don't know who created them at all. They have no idea that what they're studying is something that God gave to them. There's no awe before their eyes. Let me take a time out here for a second. I said this in Sunday school. I'll say it once again. I was absolutely overcome as I heard the story of our young ladies. They played volleyball, and they won in the class that they were in. And to that, we get excited. We say, amen, good job, girls. But there was something that took place far greater than winning first place. When they played the championship game, our girls have learned, before they ever play a game, to go out on the court. They circle around, arm around each other, and they pray. I don't know who started it. It really doesn't matter. But they pray. They don't pray, God, help us win this game and defeat these people because they're the devil. No. They don't pray that way. It's, God, help us have the right kind of attitudes. Help us to stay away from harm or injury, and that you might get the glory from it. You know what happened Saturday? The other team came over and they joined arm in arm before the game and prayed together. That's what I'm talking about, what is needed in our nation today. But what we have today, we have people who want to stand up in the crowd and want to pray before a football game, and they say, no, you can't do that. The ACLU says, hey, that's a separation of church and state. By the way, my church is here, it's not there. It's not separation of God and state. And people are afraid to do those things. Matter of fact, there are folks who are, I heard just the other day that there was a lady who left out on purpose saying the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I was told, I'm not sure if it's truthful or not, but Hillary Clinton was there and laughed about it. Don't start me there. What's the problem? Well, we don't have all of God in our educational system. There's anarchy as each seek to please themselves. It's all about getting a good education so we could find great jobs, we can make big money, whatever big money is. I found dollar bills are all the same size, haven't you? And that we can make this big money, we can go out and buy bigger toys that we can buy bigger insurance policies for and kill ourselves faster on. By the way, life is not what toys you accumulate, it's the people who are around you. Really, stop and think about it. And so we find there's the fear of God, it's the beginning of knowledge, and there's very little knowledge. Turn with me to just a few pages beyond that in the book of Proverbs again, chapter number 9. Chapter number 9. Very similar words, but notice what it says. Chapter number 9, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord, if you're there, what's it say? The beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In 1:7, it was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here he says it's the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts at, is with the fear of God. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge we have and make the proper decisions for life. You make decisions every day. Isn't that not true? Some of you women, you'd say, you say, the hardest decision I have every day is to figure out what I'm going to have for supper tonight. How many of you ladies go through that? One of our ladies, bless her heart, her husband says, I don't care what it is, and she's fixing peanut butter and jelly. Dallas never said that again, I don't think. Mrs. Springer, I hope you're not listening to that particular illustration. But we make decisions all the time, do we not? Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Do I want a hamburger for lunch? Or do I want a pizza? What is it? And you walk into a restaurant. They don't help anything. They have all these choices. I look back there and I see three cooks and I see 20,000 choices I can make. And I'm thinking, this guy can cook all these different things. He's got boogers hanging out of his nose and his hair is not too good. And he... I say that because I saw it one time. Wisdom's ability to take that knowledge and make proper decisions for life. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. You see, when we fear God, we're going to make decisions that are based upon what God wants in our lives rather than what we want. Isn't that not true? We're going to make the right kind of decision. Matter of fact, we go to the book of James, we find out that wisdom that is there for us is a gift of God. And it's something we ought to always look for. Matter of fact, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Do you need wisdom? First of all, you need to fear God enough to know that you need to have the sense to go to him to find out what he wants you to do. And God will give you that. We're in a very dire need in our nation today. What have we lost? We have lost the fear of the Lord. It's gone. There's no fear of God before their eyes. The need of the hour is for men to see who they are. This chapter is very dramatic in doing that. Let's read it again, starting in verse 10. Notice what he says. As is written, there's none righteous. How many? No, not one. You say, well, Granville's pretty good. No, the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Until we turn to him, this is our epitaph. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Oh, we see that everywhere, do we not? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And you notice what's after the word ways? It's a colon. You know what God's about to do? He's about to do, because of that little colon, to tell us why this all takes place. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. The hour in which we live, men and women need to see who they are. They need to realize that there's a God who is holy. And also, though God be a judge, God is also a God of love. They need to realize they've sinned against him and they are in need of mercy. Do you understand today? I watch politics all the time. I don't know why. I become a political junkie, I guess. And all the stupid stuff that's going on. Wouldn't it be good if Congress actually worked for us instead of working against each other? That would be something. But do you understand? Until we find men and women having a fear of God, the chaos that is in D.C. and San Francisco and Denver and Omaha and Dallas and Chicago and Philadelphia and New York and Miami and Atlanta, the chaos that is there will continue and continue and continue. What's the need of the hour? A fear of God. Here's one of the problems, brethren. God's people are not afraid of him. They think, oh, I can sin, I can get forgiveness, no big deal. I sin on Friday night, walk down the aisle on Sunday, everything's okay. No fear of God before their eyes. And the world, that's what they see. So I don't think I'll go around cringing all the time. Didn't say that. But we need a healthy fear of the judgment of God. Because after all, Christian, you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I am? Yeah. You're going to be judged according to what you've done. It doesn't mean heaven or hell in this case. It means reward or loss of rewards. I believe what it really means is this. When some of us, we find the book of Revelation, take their crowns off and throw them at the feet of Christ, it's a picture of all of us who can take the rewards that God given us and lay them at the feet of Christ, while some will stand at the back of the crowd with nothing to lay at his feet. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, I can do whatever I want. No fear of God before your eyes. We've got that kind of crowd today. And the world has not got the concept. What needs to take place? You and I need to have a healthy fear of God. Realizing that he is the judge. Yes, he's the Savior. But understand this. He's the Savior because he took your judgment. By the way, if you're here and you haven't accepted that judgment that was upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, then you're going to bear that part yourself. That is a heaven and hell judgment. As a Christian, we also have a judgment. What have you done for him? Do you have a healthy fear of God? Too often it's the other way. Father Day, working hearts. Help us understand that this fear is healthy. It's the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. It's the need of the hour. As a nation, we have turned our backs upon you. Oh God, but as a people in this church, we need not to do the same. Lord God, may we develop a healthy fear of God that takes us down the right path hour after hour. It becomes a testimony to a world that's lost and without you. Lord God, work in our midst. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.